Welcome to the very first episode of the Marion Vermeezen podcast. I'm Marion Vermeezen, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about my vision for this show. Recently, I listened to Charlie Rose interview author Doris Kearns Goodwin and her husband, playwright Richard Goodwin. They were discussing Robert Kennedy. Charlie Rose said about Kennedy, he was in constant learning mode. He was a man who was in persistent growth. Rose said that if you are that way, you are not interested in telling people what you know. You are interested in finding out what they know. Rose also said, I know too many people who shut down when they reach middle age. They are not interested in catching up on things that they were not exposed to. In the same interview, Doris Kearns Goodwin said, it has been fun seeing how excited people are with the idea that Richard, in his 70s, has written his first play. It shows his sense of continuing curiosity. The Charlie Rose Show is one of my favorite television shows. Frequently, after watching a Charlie Rose interview, I say to myself, I want to be Charlie Rose. Meeting and having conversations with interesting people energizes me. That is what I want to do with this show, feed my continuing curiosity and have conversations with interesting people. Of course, Charlie Rose has been honing his interviewing skills for almost 40 years. Maybe if I start now, then when I'm in my 70s, I'll be pretty good. So here we go. Today I'm interviewing Alison Brown. She is a dancer, a historian, and an executive with a company that provides personalized student coaching services to colleges. She has a history degree from Brandeis University, and she is also my daughter. Alison, thank you for agreeing to be my first guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, you've traveled quite a bit, Alison. Where have you traveled, and what was your last trip?
I have traveled a lot. Some of my probably farthest destinations, or at least my favorite, have been Tanzania, Africa, which was a couple years ago, and Russia was incredible. I'm looking forward this summer to heading back to France and down into Morocco, which will be wonderful. So the Tanzania trip was a while ago. More recently, I've done some trips throughout the U.S., for camping. Probably the last big trip was down to Arizona over the holidays.
So how old were you when you took your first independent travel abroad?
I was 18 years old, just graduated from high school, and remember spending history class my senior year. Rather than listening to the teacher, I was planning with a friend of mine the trip we were going to take, and it started out as just a crazy idea, sort of daydreaming, and next thing we knew, we kind of looked at each other, and we were on an airplane headed to, where did we fly into? Paris, I think, and it was pretty incredible. I still can't believe that I did that, and spent 6 weeks backpacking around Europe when we were 18.
So that was almost 10 years ago. How do you think that trip changed you?
It definitely made me a more independent person. I started college after that trip and found myself just with a broader worldview and just a much more independent person than when I had left, and then a lot of my peers. I didn't totally feel like I fit in at first, because a lot of the other students in the dorms it was their first time away from home, and here I was just finishing up a six-week trip on my own throughout Europe. It definitely also gave me a taste for travel and history and just how different the world is, and made me want to experience more different new things. I guess it made me more of a more adventurous person, definitely.
So I think a lot of people would hesitate to let their 18-year-old daughter do that. I know I certainly was concerned. Mm-hmm. Would you, in hindsight now, would you let an 18-year-old daughter of yours make a trip like that?
Well, if she could show you an incredible presentation like I did and really convince you, then,
That's a good point. Why don't you explain what you and Lauren did?
Well, we had this whole plan for how we were going to convince our parents, and we put together, this is before the days of PowerPoint slides and all that, but we put together a presentation, we made little booklets for each set of parents, we invited them all over, cooked them a fabulous dinner, and presented to them, and we had a schedule for which set of parents we would call when and how often we would call home, showed them our itinerary, where we would be, and what our plans were, and we really had thought everything through. We'd interviewed teachers who'd been to Europe and got their suggestions, so we'd put a lot of work into planning, and we had a budget that we laid out, so I think, I have to ask you, but I think that played a lot into it, the responsibility that we took.
That's very true.
I think it depends on the 18-year-old. I would be worried. I would be nervous to let an 18-year-old travel by themselves at the same time. I think it was one of the best things that I ever did.
So, did you follow all the things you promised to do?
I did. I was a perfect angel. my friends, not completely. There were definite moments, in particular, when one of the girls I was traveling with decided to head off on her own to another country, where we were nervous and we were scared, and it probably was pretty darn stupid for her to go off on her own like that. I think we were very naive, too, about kind of what dangers were out there, and, you know, I was extremely cautious on that trip, but we definitely didn't follow, I mean, as much as we could, we followed our plan, but part of it was an exciting chance to sort of escape the rules and escape our parents, and we felt like we had, even though our parents knew we were going, I felt somehow like I'd tricked you. It was like, oh my gosh, how did I convince them to let me do this? So it was pretty incredible.
Oh, that's cool. What was the, on that trip, what was the most interesting place you visited?
Oh, there were so many. I loved Poland. I didn't expect that, but I loved Eastern Europe and the history that goes along with Eastern Europe. I've always been interested in World War II history, and there's a lot of World War II history in Eastern Europe. That was probably the most interesting place, at least historically, for me.
So do you think your background and your interest in history changed the way you travel?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think I realized how interested I was in history until I traveled and found just myself always drawn to the history and the story behind the places that I was visiting. And to this day, anywhere I go, I like to find out the history, and that's my favorite section in the travel guides to read. And as far as my background and the way it impacts how I travel, that's something else I didn't realize until I started traveling, but having two parents who lived a lot of their childhoods abroad in Panama and Australia and England, and kind of grew up abroad, definitely impacted just the way that we talked about travel and the world. It never seemed that far out of reach to me, and I definitely had an understanding of the differences that exist in the world, and traveling just seemed like a natural thing that everyone should do. So I think it made me a better traveler, definitely.
That's cool. So did you, you said you're going to Morocco next, is that right?
Yeah, this summer.
So what do you hope to see there? Well, what are you looking forward to about that trip?
Oh, well, it's going to be the first, well, Tanzania has a pretty large Muslim population, but it'll be the first really Muslim country that I've visited. It's Africa, but it's a very different part of Africa than Tanzania. From everything I've read, I'm so excited about the sights and the sounds and the smells, and it's very, very different, I think, from anywhere that I've traveled before. I'm going to be an incredible cultural experience, an incredible historical experience. There are things in Morocco that you can't even fathom how old they are, and we watch the television show Rome and see, you know, a lot of this television show actually takes place in Africa as well, and we've been watching movies, and I don't know, I'm just excited for something that's so different and has such a history in a place that's so incredibly rich in stories.
So Let's see, you graduated from Brandeis almost 6 years ago now, and your degree was in history, right?
Yeah.
So what experiences from your history studies, you know, were the most interesting, or what about history did you enjoy studying the most?
Well, I've always been fascinated by World War II, so even as a kid I would find the sort of historical fiction novels that had to do with World War II, and I'm sure that my grandfather's involvement in World War II played a big part of that. But I found, you know, I didn't really like I didn't really like history until I got into high school, out of high school, I should say, and into college. And there was something different about the way history was taught in college that I really loved. What I learned was that a good history teacher in college was just telling a story, telling a really cool, interesting story. And, you know, no longer was I learning, you know, world history in one semester, which just seemed so impersonal and so broad that there was nothing I could really connect with. Suddenly I was getting down to a particular country during a very short span of time, and because it was so much more focused, you could get into the details and the stories and the personalities, and really that's when I was able to connect to my own life and what was going on in the world around me. And that's what I love about history is really bringing it alive, and the stories you can tell and the way that they connect to our lives today.
Well, so I know that your thesis at Brandeis was about prisoners of war in World War II. Is that right?
Yeah.
How did you go about researching prisoners of war?
Well, my grandfather was a prisoner of war. That's where my initial interest came from. But it was an interesting process because he had passed away by the time I actually went to write my thesis. So it started with books. You know, finding kind of the general books, a lot of just internet research. There are a lot of websites for former prisoners of war that also have reference sections. Just more reading there. And then looking for interviews. So friends of friends and people connected to my family. You know, when I was in France, I interviewed some folks. These weren't prisoners of war, but people who'd lived through the war. And it's just amazing when you start talking to people about what you're doing, kind of, and are able to use your connections to find the people that are out there and the stories that they have and the lives that they've lived. So I got connected to about three or four different former prisoners of war from both Western Europe and the Philippines, and was able to do telephone interviews with them. And I'd say that's where the richest information came from.
So so you mentioned studying in France. You studied there for a whole college year, is that right?
Yep.
And so did that, you were working on your thesis at that point, or?
I wasn't. The idea had started forming. I knew that I was really interested in oral history and doing interviews. I had done another paper, a couple papers, mm-hmm. while I was in college doing interviews. So while I was in France, one of the requirements for one of my classes was to write a research paper on anything we wanted. And the topic I chose, surprisingly, was something to do with sort of the city I lived in, Aix-en-Provence, during World War II, and what it was like for the people who lived there. So I did actually three interviews in French with the people. One of them was the grandmother of the family I was staying with, and a couple other people that I got referred to, elderly people who had lived through World War II and had various experiences, and that was pretty fascinating.
Oh, that's really cool. So I know you used oral history, like you said, for several of your history research, and it sounds like it was very useful. What do you think is the key to getting the most out of an interview with someone you were doing an oral history of? I ask that because I'm looking at how to do interviews well, too.
Yeah.
What's your advice?
That's a good question. I think one of the keys is to really listen. It's so easy to write up your questions and just go one by one by one. But if you've thought about what you want to get out of the interview and what you're most interested in ahead of time, you can actually put the paper away and really just listen to the person who's talking and their incredible stories. And if you go in with a genuine, you just have to have curiosity in your heart and really just have this completely curious, that has to be the way you are during that interview, is completely just curious and interested. And if you really listen, the questions will come to you and you can guide the conversation. And some of the best things are not necessarily where you expected the interview to go, or not necessarily the questions that you asked, but things will go in a different direction. And if you're comfortable enough to be able to take it there and let it kind of flow, it's amazing. You don't have to ask that many questions and people will just talk.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
My mother always tells me that, you know, but it's true that people enjoy talking about themselves. And we've talked about that in reference to informational interviews, but it's true. People appreciate someone showing an interest in them and wanting to hear their story. And so if you don't have to ask much. Once you can, if you can make somebody comfortable with you, very quickly they'll really open up and share some pretty incredible things.
Wow, that's true. We have talked about it, but I hadn't thought about it recently. That's a really good advice, I think. So one of the things that popped into my mind in my list of questions here is, so history isn't a very marketable degree. You know, I think at least people think that. So if you had it to do over again, would you major in history or would you major in something that's considered more marketable?
Oh, that is a good question. Well, I currently have a job that pays all right and I'm happy with, so I think I did all right, and honestly, I'm glad. I enjoyed studying history, and I was successful at it because I enjoyed it, and I think if I could do it over again, I would do the same thing.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to do this, to be the first one I interviewed, and I really appreciate it. It's so much fun to talk to you. It makes me want to talk to you all afternoon, and happy birthday, Allison.
Well, thank you very much.
That ends the very first Marian Vermeersen podcast. I believe in learning by doing, and this has certainly been a learning experience. I would really appreciate your feedback and suggestions. Please post a comment on my blog at marianvermeersen.blogs.com or send me email to marian.vermeersen@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.